Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 3 of the San Juan Snowcast.
Yeah.
My name's Chris Dixon, and I am stoked to be back for another winter of podcasting, all about the snow, weather, and avalanche conditions of the San Juan Mountains of Southwest Colorado. If you're new here, well, hey, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. The Snowcast provides a semi-weekly update on the conditions of the San Juan backcountry so that skiers and riders can make more informed decisions and hopefully stay safe out there. My goal from the beginning remains the same this season, and that's to promote increased awareness amongst our backcountry community in an effort to reduce avalanche incidents in our local mountains. And bottom line, the goal is to have zero avalanche fatalities this year in the San Juans. It seems like a simple goal, but 2 years in, I still have tragically been yet to achieve it. And the reality is, I can't do it alone. I need your help. So, before we kick this season off, I want you to join me in taking the Snowcast pledge. That's right. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. And no, I don't care that you're driving or that you're starting to get weird looks from the people around you. Ignore them. It's just you and me, dear listener, right here, right now, thinking about the backcountry season to come. Okay, repeat after me. This season, I pledge to always read the Avi Bulletin before a day of touring. Good. This season, I pledge to check my ego and acknowledge that riding in the backcountry is not a reflection of my value as a human being. Very good. This season, I pledge to speak up and communicate with my partners when something doesn't feel right. This season, I pledge to bail and turn around when the mountains are telling me no. Okay, a few more. This season, I pledge to practice my rescue skills and level up my avalanche education. This season will be fun, no matter how many powder days I get. All right, two more. This season, I pledge to tell 5 friends about the Snowcast. Very good. And lastly, Vail created facets. Okay, amen. Well, there you have it. By committing to the Snowcast pledge, you just vowed to be a bit safer in the backcountry this winter. And let that be a reminder to you when you're staring down that tasty-looking 35-degree pow slope on a day with spooky moderate persistent slab problems. But more on that soon. The Snowcast starts now. The Snowcast is supported by the Peter Ingalls Avalanche Education Fund, the Silverton Avalanche School, and Mountain Trip. Hey, if you're looking to take an avalanche course in the San Juans this winter, then look no further than Mountain Trip and the Silverton Avalanche School. With Rec Level 1 and 2 courses offered in Telluride, Ouray, and Silverton throughout the season, we've got enough venues and dates to make it easy to find a course that works for you. And if you need a little help to get over the financial hurdle of paying for a course, and if you live in the Northern San Juans, then check out the Peter Ingalls Avalanche Education Fund, where you can apply for a scholarship to help make your avalanche education more affordable. The PI Fund is giving away scholarships this year on a rolling basis until we run out of money. Oh yeah, I'm the PI Fund director and the person who will be reading your application. So step up your game and get the home turf advantage by taking an avalanche course this winter right here in the San Juans. All right. Well, let's dive into episode 1. It's early November. There's a tantalizing trace of snow up in the peaks, and ski season has yet to fully begin in the backcountry of the San Juans. So it's a perfect time of the year to kick off this season of the Snowcast. But some of you may still be asking yourself, what is a snowcast? Well, if that's you, thanks for tuning in. And guess what? You've arrived at the perfect time. Episode 1. A season of the Snowcast is like a snapshot of a winter in the San Juans from the perspective of backcountry skiing and riding. And since I already made you do a pledge, here is what I pledge to you, listener friend. I pledge to produce semi-weekly episodes that provide a timely and in-depth look at the current snowpack, the avalanche conditions, and the weather forecast. I pledge to highlight and analyze recent avalanche incidents across our zone, so we can learn from them, recognize trends, and avoid triggering avalanches on our own days of touring. I pledge to share and publicize cool happenings and educational events across the Wands through the community calendar. And lastly, I pledge to make things educational and entertaining in hopes that the Snowcast becomes your one-stop shop this winter for snow and avalanche podcast infotainment. Okay, well, I think that pretty much sums it up. But let me make one last thing crystal clear. This podcast is not and will never be a replacement for the Daily Avalanche Forecast. We're super lucky to have the fine folks at the Colorado Avalanche Information Center cranking away all winter long to produce and communicate a daily avalanche hazard evaluation. And folks, the information you get from the CAIC should always serve as the starting point for your backcountry tour planning process. Think of the Snowcast as a little bonus content. Most of the information I'll be discussing on the pod will be from the CAIC's website. And this year, I am proud to be a Friends of the CAIC media partner, which means I'll be helping to spread the word when the CAIC has an important message to get out to the public. All right, last piece of background info before we dive into the show. Who the heck am I? That's a great question. Well, my name's Chris Dixon, and I love snow. I've been backcountry skiing in Colorado for the last 15 years, and this is my ninth winter in the Wands. I live in Ophir and work in the Telluride area as a ski guide, avalanche educator, and avalanche forecaster for Mountain Trip. I'm also the director of the Peter Ingalls Avalanche Education Fund, aka the PI Fund, in Telluride, and we put on free educational events throughout the winter and give away avalanche education scholarships. You already know my mission for the podcast, zero avalanche fatalities in the Wands. But another reason I started this thing was to build some stoke and camaraderie amongst the San Juan backcountry community. This mountain range, it's pretty special. It's young, it's rugged, and it's got a notoriously bad snowpack and a core group of folks who find a lot of joy and adventure sliding on its snow-covered slopes. This ain't the Front Range, or the Wasatch, or the Tetons. It's the freaking Wands, and we've got a backcountry ski culture that is unique and rowdy as the terrain we get to play on. So, the Snowcast is like my ode to the people and peaks tucked into the far southwest corner of Colorado, a long way from nowhere, and just a little bit more wild. Well, before we dive into Season 3 of the Snowcast, the current state of the snowpack, and a look at what's to come for the rest of November, I think it's worth taking a minute to reflect on last winter. Because it was freaking epic. I promised a winter wrap-up at the end of last season, but, you know, then I went on a 10-day ski honeymoon to Valdez and then a 6-day hut traverse trip, and then it was Denali season, and I totally blew it. Sorry. So, to provide some context and to set some expectations for the winter to come, we got to first look back at the winter that was. So, close your eyes and think back to your deepest day of last winter. You there? Good. Winter 2023 certainly was epic. Last winter was unusual for many reasons, and in many areas across the West. It was the rare third year in a row of La Nina conditions, which is when water temps in the equatorial Pacific are colder than usual at the surface. And nobody knew exactly what the triple dip, La Nina, would mean in terms of winter weather across the West. The seasonal snowfall began with a classic late October storm here in the Wands shortly before Halloween, and then it snowed again in early November. But we had a few dry spells to start off the season. Middle of November was pretty dry, and then another 14-day dry spell in the middle of December. But then, the moisture arrived, and it came in the form of a freaking river. Actually, 9 rivers. Starting on December 27th, moisture began pluming across the Pacific and smashing into the California coast via several powerful atmospheric river events. And in 3 weeks, California got half of its seasonal snowfall, and we tripled our snowpack in the San Juans. The winter was off to the races. Our snowpack pushed above the 30-year average on January 1st, and it remained there for the rest of the season. Small but incremental storms through the end of January into February kept our snowpack slowly inching up, and then Valentine's Day hit and the storm started coming. From February 14th to April 7th, the snowpack doubled across the San Juans. That tied with the 2019 for the snowiest March of the last 20 years in the San Juans. And we set new 30-year records for highest snowpack totals, in terms of SWE, from March 22nd to April 7th. Some backcountry weather stations were 200 to 300% above their 30-year average snowpack. Like good old Cascade No. 2, not far from Purgatory, which had 366% its average snowpack last year. Which is nuts. 3.5 times more snow on the ground than usual? That's a big difference. Another spot that got hit hard was Columbine Pass on the Uncompahgre Plateau, out west of Montrose. Its snowtell site recorded the largest snowpack ever in its 30 years of recording, setting new max values for 2 whole months. Now, the weird thing about both Cascade No. 2 and Columbine Pass is that they're both only sitting at 9,000 feet. Lucas Boyer, our NWS meteorologist out of Grand Junction, theorized at his presentation at Forsaw that it was generally colder at these lower elevation sites last winter, and that is what could have helped contribute to more precipitation falling and remaining as snow. Either way, at all the elevations where we collect snowpack data in the San Juans, we got a lot of snow last season. In fact, looking back the last 10 years of the San Juan snowpack, no other winter besides 2019 even comes close to last year. We ended up having a higher peak snow water equivalent than 2019, but 2019 had a longer season overall, with big storms in May and a snowpack that lasted 2 weeks longer than last winter's. Once last year's snowpack began to melt around the end of April, well, it had a rapid decline, and was mostly gone by June 20th, in line with the 30-year average San Juan snowpack, despite being nearly twice as large. Bottom line though, folks, last year was epic. Looking back the last 35 years of available data, last winter goes down as one of the top 3 best winters for snowfall in the San Juans. And if you've been skiing around these parts since before 2019, then you've experienced 2 of the most bountiful winters the San Juans have seen in 35 years. Damn, are we lucky or what? Thinking about last year sure does make me feel grateful. But it also reminds me how special last winter was, and how unlikely it is to be repeated again this year. The La Nina pattern broke down in late March, and ocean waters in the equatorial Pacific are warming, showing a 75 to 85% chance of a strong El Nino persisting all the way into next spring for the Northern Hemisphere. Now, I'll talk more about that in the winter's outlook later on in the episode, but I think it's just important to note that it's very unlikely that this winter will hold as much snowfall for the San Juans as last year did. And you know, that's okay. We can't be breaking records every year. Plus, if your expectations for this upcoming winter are realistically low, then they'll easily be met. An average winter in the Juans still features plentiful powder days and periods of low avy danger that'll allow us to have a blast in the backcountry. Every fall, I always find that there's so much hype going into the winter. Unofficial networks and all these different ski media outlets, they're always publishing stories with clickbaity titles like Winter 23-24, who will get the most snow under a strong El Nino? Or Winter Outlook for 23-24, this winter will not be normal. I can't tell you how often I've already been asked this fall, what do you think, Chris? Is it going to be a good winter? To which I always respond, dude, that's up to you. A good winter is what you make of it, folks. It's all about your expectations and how you manage them. So if your bar for a good winter is enough snow to get a few awesome days of touring with your friends in beautiful mountains, then hell yes, it's going to be a good winter. If your baseline expectation is infinite bottomless powder days, well, you're not really setting yourself up to be satisfied, and you're definitely not being realistic. So it's all about expectation management, folks. Last winter was pretty epic. This winter, well, it'll be as epic as you make it.
Funk break!
Funky. Okay, it's early November, and this winter has so far been, well, off to a pretty slow start for the Juans. The state of the snowpack is, non-existent. Thus far, we've just had a handful of small snowfall events, with some snow in September, a decent storm at the beginning of October, and another decent storm right at the end of October. But in between those squalls, it's been pretty high and dry down here in the southwestern part of Colorado, lots of high pressure, lots of sun, and some pretty warm temperatures have cooked most aspects and melted out a majority of our early season snowfall. However, in the high northerly aspects and those places where the sun don't shine, early season snow is sticking around, and it's likely here to stay for the season. In some high norths, almost a foot of snow is sitting on the slopes. If you've been around the Wands for a minute, you know that this is nothing new. A tale as old as time, some say. And you also probably know that this early season snowpack can plague us by becoming the rotten, faceted foundation that our entire season snowpack builds upon. Yep, pretty classic. So, at this point in time, our snowpack is currently sitting at 38% of our 30-year average, which is definitely not great. But it does not mean we're doomed. The winters of 2020 and 2022 both got off to a pretty slow start, but turned out to be decently average in the end. We gotta keep the faith, folks. December will ultimately be make or break for this winter's San Juan snowpack. On years where we've had good snowfall in December, we tend to end up with a snowpack that is closer to the average in the long run. In years where we've been completely skunked in December, like the abysmal winter of 2018, well, we've ended those seasons well below our average snowpack. So, what is in the forecast? And what could the first El Nino in 3 years mean for winter in the Wands? Well, let's dive into the short and long-term winter outlooks. So I'm recording this on Thursday, November 9th, and just last night we had a little moisture-starved cold front move across Colorado, which dropped about a trace to 2 inches in the San Juans and a little bit more snow in the central and northern mountains. Not very exciting. But after this squall pushes out, we're looking at another week of warm, sunny weather into the middle of the month. But, oh yeah, there's a but. The storm that everyone is watching is slated to arrive around November 17th. The models are showing a period of stormy and colder weather moving into our region and sitting on the southwest for at least a few days as we move towards the end of November. Now, it looks like a big low-pressure system. It originates in the Gulf of Alaska, then slides south along the west coast, bringing cold air and some decent moisture along with it. Now, I don't want to get anyone's hopes too high, especially because we're still about 7 to 10 days out, but this could very well be the storm that kicks off our winter in earnest. And with a slow-moving system that has potential to linger over our mountains for several days, well, we could see multiple rounds of snowfall before the end of November. So maybe we will be skiing on the grassiest slopes in the backcountry before December. Keep your fingers crossed. So that's the short-term outlook. But how about predictions for the winter overall? Well, to be honest, folks, I don't place too much stock in any of those seasonal predictions. Because guess what? They're all just guesses. And sometimes they're not even educated guesses. Sorry, Farmer's Almanac. The reality is, at this point in time and with our current technology, meteorology just isn't that accurate in forecasting weather beyond about 10 days out. Yes, there are large-scale weather phenomena that influence what's going on in the troposphere, such as the El Niño Southern Oscillation, the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, and the Arctic Oscillation. But nobody's quite yet cracked the code on interpreting exactly how the interplay of these weather patterns affects the day-to-day or even month-to-month weather that we experience on the ground. That said, the easiest one to discuss is the El Niño Southern Oscillation, or ENSO. And I did a deep dive on that in previous episodes. Go check out Season 1, Episode 3. But on the topic of ENSO, and one of the most interesting things about this winter, is that we're no longer in La Niña, and we're trending rapidly towards a strong El Niño, which will likely persist through the spring. Another interesting fact to explore is that we're trending towards a strong El Niño directly after a triple dip La Niña. So what does that mean exactly? Well, let's start by discussing arguably the most important effect of El Niño or La Niña conditions, and that's the location of the jet stream as it hits North America, moving weather from west to east. Oh yeah, and if you didn't already know that, all weather in our hemisphere moves more or less from west to east. Now, we care about the jet stream because it determines the path that low-pressure systems take as they move across the country, aka the storm track. During La Niña, which we've had for the last 3 winters, the jet stream swoops high up into the Gulf of Alaska and then heads southwest across the PNW and the Northern Rockies before it heads out east. During El Niño, the jet stream kind of flattens out across the Pacific and rams into North America near Southern California, thus bringing the storm track on a more southerly path across the southern portions of Arizona and New Mexico before it continues across Texas and into the Gulf Coast. So in theory, a strong El Nino means the jet stream has potential to deliver more storms and more snowfall across the southern Rockies and especially the mountains located in southern New Mexico and Arizona. So what does this mean for the San Juans? Well, in doing my research, I found this kind of wacky website run by a guy named Tony Crocker. It's called bestsnow.net, and it is super old school and also super cool. Tony seems to almost be as obsessed with skiing as he is with statistics and number crunching. And on his website, he's done some really interesting analysis and has huge data sets on snowfall numbers for every ski area going back the last 25 years. Anyways, according to Tony, there are actually only a few areas that are truly favored under a strong El Nino in terms of snowfall. And those places are Bryan Head over in south central Utah, the Arizona Snowball, and Ski Apache, which is down in southern New Mexico. Turns out even Taos, which is in northern New Mexico, is only slightly favored under strong El Ninos. And in the category of minimal sensitivity to El Nino slash no effect are, you guessed it, places like Telluride, Purgatory, and Wolf Creek. Unfortunately, there just doesn't seem to be much correlation at all, no matter how badly we want to believe it, between El Nino and snowfall for the San Juans. Prior to this most recent La Nina period, the last El Nino was during the winter of 2018-2019, during which we had above average snowfall for the Juans and a pretty epic winter. But that year was also a weak El Nino. The last moderate El Nino was 2010, which was slightly above average for our local snowpack. The last strong El Nino, which is what we're trending towards for this year, was way back in 1992, which produced a basically average winter for us. And then the last very strong El Nino was in 2016, which was actually a slightly below average winter for the Juans. So I gotta settle with Tony on this one. I'm not sure we can easily say that this winter will be better for the Juans simply due to the location of the jet stream under strong El Nino conditions. I think we can say that things look very promising for snowy mountains down south in Arizona and New Mexico, but even Taos is kind of on the cusp. So all in all, I'm going to stick with the same thing the weatherman from the NWS said at Foresaw in Silverton. We've got an equal chance of above or below average snowfall for the Juans this winter. Or in other words, it could go either way. How's that for a prediction? Well, that is it for this week's show. I always like to start the season off with a short and sweet episode just to get the ball rolling. Also, folks, I'm not going to lie. Part of me is still in summer mode because I've got one final climbing trip in the books before I fully commit to ski boots for the many months to come. Yep, next week I'm heading out to Vegas to climb in one of my favorite places in the world, Red Rocks, and to soak up a little more sunny desert time before returning to the hopefully snowy San Juans. But hey, once that snow starts to fly, I'll start dropping more episodes, and I very much look forward to nerding out on future incoming storms and our developing snowpack. It won't be long, folks. Soon, we'll again be doing the best thing in the world, walking uphill and sliding back down on top of frozen ice crystals with the people we love. Backcountry ski season is near, and I can't wait. In the meanwhile, stay tuned to the Instagram, at San Juan Snowcast, where I'll be posting some updates on the development of next week's storm. And also feel free to shoot me an email at sanjuansnowcast@gmail.com if you have any ideas or feedback for the show. Also, I've got some serious swag this year. That's right, Snowcast trucker hats, t-shirts, and stickers. So hit me up with an email or DM if you want one, and please help me grow the reach of Snowcast Nation. Stickers are always free, so long as you put them somewhere cool. All right, folks, I'm incredibly stoked for season 3 of the Snowcast. I've got a bunch of great interviews lined up, some interesting topics to explore, and much, much more. So, stay tuned. And until next time,
think snow!